Carl's absence, we take an opportunity to read sort of a continuation on the theme that we were talking about last week and the week before during our practice circle, which is sort of the difference between our sitting practice and the self-improvement and obtaining kind of mentality, which is sort of our ordinary mind, as Steve Hagen calls it, or mediocre self, as Simone Weil calls it. When I first came here, we used to call, I believe, we used to call the talk during the second period an encouragement talk. And really wasn't important in and of itself as long as it encouraged us to continue to sit and kept us going. And this is kind of like a reminder talk, I guess you'd say. Because for myself, and I'm sure for a lot of people, I got to keep reminding myself that I'm not doing this in order to get somewhere. Because everything I do, it seems like I'm trying to get someplace else. I'm going to go back to the very beginning of the talk by Steve Hagen that we started with, talking about what practice is not. Most people start out practicing Zen with an ordinary mind. That is, with the idea that they're going to benefit from it somehow, that it will make them healthier or happier or more grounded or more spiritual, or that it will improve them in some other way. Indeed, most of us generally approach everything with the idea that we're going to get something from it. After all, if we don't or won't or can't, why should we bother? So that was where Steve Hagen started, and there's sort of a similar reminder going on in the talk that was recorded and published by Charlotte Joko Beck, who was also from the Zen lineage, kind of echoes some of the same themes. What practice is not. Many people practice and have strong ideas of what practice is. What I want to do is state what practice is not. First, practice is not about producing psychological change. If we practice with intelligence, psychological change will be produced. I'm not questioning that. In fact, it's wonderful. I'm saying that practice is not done in order to produce such change. Practice is not about intellectually knowing the physical nature of reality, or what the universe consists of, or how it works. Practice is not about achieving some blissful state. It's not about having visions. It's not about seeing white lights, or pink or blue ones. Practice is not about having or cultivating special powers. Practice is not about personal power, or the strength that is developed through years of sitting. Practice is not about having nice feelings or happy feelings. It's not about feeling good as opposed to feeling bad. It's not an attempt to be anything special or to feel anything special. The product of practice or the point of practice or what practice is about is not to be always calm and collected. Again, we tend to be much more so after years of practice, but that is not the point. Practice is not about some bodily state in which we are never ill or never hurt, or one in which we have no bothersome ailments. Practice is not about achieving an omniscient state in which a person knows all about everything, a state in which a person is an authority on any and all worldly problems. Practice is not about being spiritual, at least not as this word is often understood. Practice is not about being anything. So unless we see that we cannot aim at being spiritual, it can be a seductive and harmful objective. Practice is not about highlighting all sorts of good qualities and getting rid of the so-called bad ones. We could continue our listing almost endlessly. Actually, anyone in practice has some of these delusions operating. We all hope to change, to get somewhere. That in itself is the basic fallacy. But just contemplating this desire begins to clarify it, and the practice basis of our life alters as we do so. We begin to comprehend that our frantic desire to get better, to get somewhere, is illusion itself and the source of suffering. So then, her next talk was entitled, What Practice Is? And it's a little more elusive. And she actually has a little practice for us to do together. What practice is? Practice is very simple. That doesn't mean it won't turn our life around, however. I want to review what we do when we sit or do zazen. And if you think you're beyond this, well, you can think you're beyond this. Sitting is essentially a simplified space. Our daily life is in constant movement. Lots of things going on, lots of people talking, lots of events taking place. In the middle of that, it's very difficult to sense what we are in our life. When we simplify the situation, when we take away the externals and remove ourselves from the ringing phone, the television, the people who visit us, the dog who needs a walk, we get a chance, which is absolutely the most valuable thing there is, to face ourselves. Meditation is not about some state, but about the meditator. It's not about some activity or about fixing something or accomplishing something. It's about ourselves. If we don't simplify the situation, the chance of taking a good look at ourselves is very small, because what we tend to look at isn't ourselves, but everything else. If something goes wrong, what do we look at? We look at what's going wrong, and usually at others we think have made it go wrong. We're looking out there all the time and not at ourselves. When I say meditation is about the meditator, I do not mean that we engage in self-analysis. That's not it either. So what do we do? Once we have assumed our best posture, which should be balanced and easy, we just sit there. We do zazen. What do I mean by just sit there? It's the most demanding of all activities. Usually in meditation, we don't shut our eyes, but right now I'd like you to shut your eyes and just sit there. What's going on? All sorts of things. A tiny twitch in your shoulder, a pressure in your side. Notice your face for a moment. Feel it. Is it tense anywhere? Around the mouth? Around the forehead? Now move down a bit. Notice your neck. Just feel it. Then your shoulders. Your back, your chest, your abdominal area, your arms, your thighs. Keep feeling whatever you find. And feel your breath as it comes and goes. Don't try to control it, just feel it. Our first instinct is to try to control the breath. Just let your breath be as it is. It may be high in your chest. It may be in the middle. It may be low. It may feel tense. Just experience it as it is. Now just feel all of that. If a car goes by outside, hear it. If a plane flies over, notice that. You might hear a refrigerator going on and off, or an air conditioner. Just be that. That's all you have to do. Absolutely all you have to do. Just experience that and just stay with it. Now you can open your eyes. If you can just do that for 3 minutes, that's miraculous. Usually after about a minute, we begin to think. Our interest in just being with reality, which is what we have just done, is very low. You mean that is all there is to zazen? We don't like that. We're seeking enlightenment, aren't we? Our interest in reality is extremely low. No, we want to think. We want to worry through all of our preoccupations. We want to figure life out. And so before we know it, we've forgotten all about this moment, and we've drifted off into thinking about something, our boyfriend, our girlfriend, our child, our boss, our current fear, off we go. There's nothing sinful about such fantasizing, except that when we're lost in that, we've lost something else. When we're lost in thought, when we're dreaming, what have we lost? We've lost reality. Our life has escaped us. And this is what human beings do, and we don't just do it sometimes, we do it most of the time. And why do we do that? You know the answer. We do it because we are trying to protect ourselves. We're trying to rid ourselves of our current difficulty, or at least understand it. There's nothing wrong with our self-centered thoughts, except that when we identify with them, our view of reality is blocked. So what should we do when the thoughts come up? We should label the thoughts. Be specific in your labeling, not just thinking or worrying, but a specific label. For example, having a thought, she's very bossy. Having a thought that he's unfair to me. Having a thought that I never do anything right. Be specific. And if the thoughts are tumbling out so fast that you can't find anything except confusion, just label the foggy mess confusion. But if you persist in trying to find a separate thought, sooner or later you will. When we practice like this, we get acquainted with ourselves and how our lives work and what we are doing with them. If we find that certain thoughts come up hundreds of times, we know something about ourselves that we didn't know before. Perhaps we incessantly think about the past or the future. Some people always think about events. Some people always think about other people. Some people always think about themselves. Some people's thoughts are almost entirely judgments about other people. Until we have labeled for 4 or 5 years, we don't know ourselves very well. When we label thoughts precisely and carefully, what happens to them? They begin to quiet down. We don't have to force ourselves to get rid of them. When they quiet down, we return to the experience of the body and the breath over and over and over. I can't emphasize enough that we don't just do this 3 times, we do it 10,000 times. And as we do it, our life transforms. That's a theoretical description of sitting. It's very simple. There's nothing complicated about it. So I have time for one more little note of encouragement and reminder. And this is from Pema Chodron, who's a follower of the Tibetan lineage of Buddhism. We already have everything we need. There is no need for self-improvement. All these trips that we lay on ourselves, the heavy-duty fearing that we're bad and hoping that we're good, the identities that we so dearly cling to, the rage, the jealousy, and the addictions of all kinds, never touch our basic wealth. They are like clouds that temporarily block the sun. But all the time, our warmth and brilliance are right here. This is who we really are. We are one blink of an eye from being fully awake. Thank you.